Jeremiah chapter 1. We have been talking about walking in divine authority, and we have said many things. I want to try and avoid repeating all the things that we have said. I find myself doing it a lot, so let's just quickly jump into where we are. But there was something I started saying 2 meetings ago when we talked about the path of the Lord, which is the place of authority, which I tried to continue last time. I found out I didn't continue. I ended up talking about the coming day of the Lord. And then I want to continue that one today. I hope I can. I pray that I'll be able to do it. Now, and that I was talking about the importance of being in the place of God's calling. And then I want to talk again about that. That's still in that line. About being in the will. Now, when I say will now, I want to explain something. I'm not just talking about what's the will of God concerning the job I should do or who I should marry. No. But I'm saying that God has something to say about everything in life. Now, being in the place of God's calling and being in the center of God's word, let me use it like that, those are the 2 things that guarantee that you will walk in authority. Do you understand the point? Now, we'll read Jeremiah chapter 1. But before that, please just keep your Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 1. And then I want to read something from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. It said, from verse 5, it said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, so we may boldly say, my emphasis, what I'm bringing out from here is that line, so we may boldly say, that is, before we can say something with boldness, it must be based upon what God has spoken already. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God has said. Now we, because of that, can confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. I can say that boldly only because the Lord has said something earlier. Anything you say, you try to say with confidence, which is not because God has already made a statement about it, you'll be walking in what we call presumption. Do you get my point? There's something about Christians, they don't really understand, let me say people generally, they don't understand exactly how the things of God work. You know, it's not because you know that your God is a mighty God. Therefore, anything you like, you want, you get it. Do you follow what I'm going to say? God doesn't behave like that. You know, I said something before, I don't know what we're talking about, that faith is not just a way by which you get things from the hand of God. Faith is the way by which you walk in line with God. Let me make it simple like that. That is, it is not that, look, I can get anything I want by faith. No. It is anything that God has given to me, by faith I will receive it. Do you understand my point? Now, when God wanted to give the children of Israel the promised land, moving to the promised land, one thing he told them, he gave them the description of the places that he had given them. And then he told them, when you are passing through the land of the Edomites, be very careful, because I'm not giving you any of their land. When you get to the land of the Midianites, the Moabites, thank you, and the Ammonites, he said, when you get to their land, if you want to drink water, pay for the water. Don't stir up them to any anger. If they get angry and they begin to fight, I won't support you. You know the reason, of course, because those are descendants of Lot, and God had given them the land they were occupying. Are you getting my point? That is, but the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Elkites, everywhere, those ones I have given to you. He said, now begin to contend with them in battle. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That is, before they receive the strength to contend effectively, it had to be because those were the areas that God had given to them beforehand. What they were doing actually was enforcing the thing that God had prepared in the heavens. I explained before that when Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That is, there is something that God recorded. He had already given certain geographical locations to the children of Israel. And as long as they go in to take the ones he has given them, do you follow what I mean? Those ones, God will always defend them. Now, that's what faith is. Faith is not just that I just wake up, and that's why God, you know, tells in reserve, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. He told them, you cannot use faith to collect what is mine. Are you getting my point? You can't walk up your faith to that level. Please, we must understand something about faith. It is not something, you know, because I'm saying talking like this because we were taught, or don't let me say we're taught. That was the way we understood a lot of us when we're young believers studying the word of faith. We felt that if you desire something, go into the Bible and go and you find scriptures to support what you desire and then use it to pray. Now, you know what that means? You begin to see anything you want to see. You know, you can make the Bible say anything. Are you getting what I mean? I mean, you know, the other day I told one of my friends, I said, there's this new pair of trousers that I just saw. I said, I like it so much, but it didn't size me. I said, let me pray overnight that maybe by tomorrow morning it'll be my size. He replied to me, I said, my friend, remember the suit you saw me wearing the last time you saw me? Yes, you saw how big it was. He said, for your information, I watched it shrink for 1 month. Then finally, I convinced myself the thing don't shrink. I started wearing it. But the moment you saw it was like a agbada on my shoulders. Now, what I'm going to say is that if you decide that you want to find the scripture to collect Bathsheba from Uriah, it's not a problem. Just settle down. You will finally find the scripture that shows that Uriah is a sinner and that his wife shall belong to another. And then you are the another that God has appointed. No, you will find. You will find. You get what I'm saying? I was working yesterday in the office. Now we're doing histology. That's some of my residents and I. And they were trying to make a diagnosis. And I said, there's this particular feature we are supposed to see. He said, Chief, let's look for it. I thought, and I said, boy, it's not there. He said, Chief, I think we should look for it. I said, all right. I said, for your information, if you look hard enough, it will show up. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, suddenly you will start drawing it with your eyes into the thing. And that's what we started doing those days as young believers. Is there anything you want? Go and find a scripture that supports it. Let me put it the other way around. If you find a scripture that gives you anything, then you take that one by force. If you get a word from God, maybe, because we must get this thing very practical. What do you mean by a word from God? You hear me teach all the time. You read your Bible in the morning. You pray. You know, the Spirit of God enlightens your eyes and your heart as you see things happening. That ignites something in you, and you will know when God has spoken a word to you. You know, this last convention I went for, that my alumni fellowship, one young man was speaking then. He said, those days I will come to school, and that there was a day I made a statement that there are people sitting down here, and that they are going to build things bigger than companies like ExxonMobil. He said he jumped out of his seat. Now, he didn't know I was going to say it. I never knew I said it. Just that he keeps reminding me that there was something you said and that he has held on tenaciously to that thing and he won't let it go. He said that day he jumped up out of his seat, that the fellow beside him said, what is the problem? Do you know the total value of ExxonMobil? He said, look at the fellow, said, you don't understand. When he was saying this, you know, like I say, you know what they call acute suppurative pocketitis? That is, nothing in the pocket. I was a student. Do you understand? I'm trying to say something about when you hear a word from God. Sometimes you are reading the scriptures, all right? Like, you know, I was discussing with somebody. He said that the Bible promised us 70 years, that we'll live 70 years. I said, I have never read that one in my Bible. If you know where it is, please show me. It's not there, all right? So don't let's waste each other's time. It's not there. What we read was the lamentation of Moses. Moses said that we have been so punished and pummeled. We have been subject to your wrath. Our sin is showing on our bodies. So much that now we only live 70 years. That was what he said. He said those who manage, they manage. If by reason of strength, they stretch it to 80. He said it's a sign that we have been punished by God. Those who were not punished by God. Moses himself lived to be 120 years. Joshua lived over 100 years. Caleb lived over 100 years. When Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, Pharaoh shouted. He said, sir, how old are you? And Jacob told him, I'm so and so and so age. He said, but don't think I'm old. I'm not even as old as my fathers were. And he was referring to Abraham and Isaac. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm trying to bring out something. So you now find out, if you go and read around Isaiah 65 into 66, he was not describing the days of the kingdom of God. That you will find out that those days, that a young man will die, the youth will die at the age of 100. And that anyone who dies below the age of 100, will judge that the person has sinned. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I read that, you discover it, and then say, okay, fine. This is what God has said. then I stretch my faith towards that. Are you getting my point? It's not as if I have a desire. That's why we made the mistake of interpreting the Bible, saying that hope is unsure. We're going to give it substance by looking for faith to shock it below. You cannot finish building a building and go and look for where to you find the foundation for it. No, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, if a man has a hope, the solid thing that made him have a hope is his faith, which means that God has uttered something and he has believed it. I don't want to start talking about faith again. Abraham had an expectation, a hope, concerning the fact that he will die childless. He said, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? And God said, no, you will not die childless. Sarah, indeed, will bear you a child. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God said, okay, now your name will no longer be Abraham, but shall be Abraham. No, let me tell you something. Abraham never went to God to ask for a child. Go and read it. He just said, okay, now that I'm dying childless, what will you give me? And God now gave him a word, saying that, no, you will not die childless. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So this is where boldness comes from. This is where boldness, you know, the other day I talked about righteousness, that everything spiritual has two levels, all right? Because I'm trying to bring out something there, that Proverbs said that the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want to bring out something there. That we're talking about righteousness, that everything in life has two levels. There are two levels of faith. So what do I mean? He said faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. In that book, He That Believes, I wrote that whole book, He That Believes, to explain that thing to people. That faith has two levels. There is a general level faith, which does not change the things that have already happened. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Can you undie him? Do you get my point? You can't. He rose up on the third day. Can you rebury him? You can't. No matter how much you argue about, is it possible for a virgin to give birth to a child? That's your problem. It has happened. Do you understand my point? That is faith on the first level. All right? It doesn't really affect, listen to this, it doesn't produce anything for you on the earth. It doesn't. It gives you a passport to heaven, fine, a visa to heaven, but that's all it does. That's faith as a conviction of things not seen. All right? But faith as a substance of things hoped for. That faith is producing that which I have not yet seen. That is yet future. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's why it's a hope. It is something that has not yet happened. It's different from something that happened some time ago, which I did not see, but I believe. But this one, there's a difference. The difference is that this one, the faith is needed to produce that thing. The other one, the faith only accepts it. But this one, the faith produces it. It said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. You get what I'm saying? That is, you think God lied. God did not lie. They did not believe it. Therefore, it did not produce. Let me tell you something again. I'm digressing, but I'm trying to bring out something. Look, anything can happen in that. In fact, you know, there's something I'm going to write for my alumni fellowship people. My thoughts about that organization, a very strong organization. If you read the back of every book, I write it boldly. That is where I come from. All right? Light of Christ Community Alumni Fellowship. Now, there are some thoughts I'm writing about the God's purpose for that group of people. And a young man called me last night, and we spoke for about an hour on the phone. And I told him that one thing I'm sure of is that it's not necessarily us alone. There are probably other groups of people like us here and there. All right, but there are traits I have seen, and I know that God wants to do something. I said there are a number of things I have found out. Number one, that there's a generation which God poured out a lot of ministers, preachers. And then after that, he brings another generation in which he's pouring forth a lot of economic powerhouses, all right? And each one has to exercise himself in his gift to develop it so much that the world will know that something is happening here. And I said, from this second generation, all right, of people, you will find governmental officials coming out. That the day will come, and I'm sure what I'm trying to say, I am absolutely persuaded. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to preach. I'm not trying to sound nice. That, look, listen, if you think PDP people are going to repent of their iniquities, you are deceiving yourself. They will not. It doesn't happen. It's a generational thing. There is a generation. No, Jesus talked about an evil and an adulterous generation. The whole generation is like that. There's none righteous. No, not one. It has to do with generations. But then for another generation to come and supplant them and displace them, do you get my point? What God does ahead of time is to breed strong people in that coming generation. That is why, like they say, not yet Uhuru. You know how they say it, you know? Uh-huh. It is not yet redemption for Nigeria yet. And I'm not worried. I'm not yet worried. A generation has to pass away. Listen,
if they do election again and it's this crop of people you see, don't be angry. Don't be sad. Just be patient. Do you get my point? Don't be angry. Don't be sad. Just be what? Patient. When you will know things are about to turn around, suddenly you will see one and say, who is that guy? We don't know him. How old is he? The boy is just 38. He's just 28. He's 35. You start seeing things like that. Where does he come from? He looks as thin as Barack Obama. You know what I'm saying? Then to know that her redemption is near. That is the country. Do you follow my point? When you see one old man handing over to another old man and they're still exchanging and having meeting caucuses, relax. Just be patient. Because it's a matter of generations. I analyzed it. I thought about it. I said, no. What God is doing, listen, everybody be careful how you are living. Be careful how you are dealing with the affairs of life. Be careful how you pass every test that God brings your way. I know what I'm saying. Because in life, you can get derailed, not understanding that what God is doing is not those temporal things. Let me summarize it. Look, you will sit down, you are believing God, you are working hard, you are jumping from here to here. At the end of the month of working very hard and struggling and doing businesses and earning a salary, at the end of the day, you pack $100,000 together and you feel very good. And then one day you go and visit a friend of yours, not half as smart as you were in school. And he said, but let's go and eat now. Long time no see. You enter a restaurant, he orders food for three or four of you. By the time he's through, dips in his pocket, pays them $70,000 and says, let us go. And it is lunch. You will look at yourself like, man, what's going on here? And then as you are driving, you get to say, no, I just moved to this new house. Man, the houses here are so expensive now. Do you know I paid $35 million for this house? You know, you shut your eyes like, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. What is going on here? And you know that nothing is happening. And that's nothing has happened. No, at the end of the day, people say, I come up for Lagos. That's why a lot of people run. A lot of people disappear. No. Enugu is dry. I said, listen. Nobody should say, maybe if you get to Enugu, yes, one guy, Pastor Bank, he preaches very well. Will you relocate from Lagos to Enugu because of him? No, you wouldn't. In the same manner, there's an anointing to control wealth. If a man is doing his job, don't envy him. It's his job. It doesn't mean he's smart. It is his job. God hasn't given you that job. Just leave it. It doesn't concern you. Yeah, no, you cannot. Let me tell you where I take my own joy and rejoicing from. In every book we took to Benin, not one came back. That's my joy and rejoicing. Each book is already 259. I don't care. That one is good enough. I'm touching somebody's life. You are getting what I'm saying? Each person focus on what they are supposed to do. Listen, when God was going to lift David, and this is not just David, just as a story we all can agree with, from being a shepherd to being a king, it was not because he was connected beforehand with kings. The man who became king was faithful as a shepherd. Let me tell you something. Don't say, why am I wasting my time? All the struggling up and down. All I get at the end of the day is just 50,000. Meanwhile, my friends just make 2 phone calls and they make 10 million. Listen, God judges each person according to the labor to get that 50,000 and I could get that million. He said, I planted, Paul was speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Are you getting my point? He said, each man will receive his reward according to his labor. Let me tell you the truth. Don't say that, after how much are they paying me in that office? If you don't like it, carry a sheet of paper, write in that you're not working again, and you go away. Do you get my point? Yes. The reason being that, you can say, I look at it now. My friend who moved from here, and he moved to the other side, they tripled his salary. Listen to what I am saying. God does not expect you to work according to the salary you are paid. He expects you to work as unto the Lord. Do you get my point? Then when you have worked as unto the Lord, then he now decides what he wants to do with you. There are people that did business where they were making millions of naira, and God said, now you have proved faithful in making millions of naira. Now I want to anoint you with power for healing. He takes him out of business and he puts him into ministry. No, I'm telling you, we think it always goes the other way around. No. God said, very good boy. Look at the way he multiplied the money I gave him. When he was working for his boss, he worked so well. The company was doing a turnover of 50 million naira when he got there. By the time he was leaving, they were doing a turnover of 500 million. Good boy. He will be a good minister of healing. And God takes him from the business world and pours the oil of healing the sick upon him. If you think I'm joking, go and read the story of John G. Lake. That was what happened to him. And it's still happening every day. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right, let me get back to the thing I was trying to say when I said this was about faith. So faith, I said, the word is coming forth. I noticed it and I realized, based upon the things I have observed God doing, I have an expectation. Now, this is what I want to say. You must not get discouraged, because that is the aim of Satan, to discourage you from holding on to that faith. Because if you drop the faith, then the thing you were expecting will never happen. Do you get my point? It is he that endures to the end that is saved. I don't know whether what I'm saying is making sense to you. It is enduring to the end. If he endures 90%, he will not be saved. He must endure until the day of salvation. This is important. Now, when the man keeps enduring, if Bible talks about enduring, that means there should be reason to faint. There will be. That's why he emphasizes the word enduring. What I'm trying to explain is this. So you have believed God, but things are not coming out the way you thought they will. It's a matter of time. The season, all right, between when you believed and when there's a full manifestation is what the Bible calls patience. Patience. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me get back to my issue of faith. So it's when God has made a promise. It's when God has indicated things to us by the ministry of his word that we know that he wants to do things, and we hold on to what he wants to do, and then we can speak boldly. You know, people tell me something that, you speak with so much boldness. I said, because I believe what I am saying. Do you get my point? No, I am not trying to preach. I am telling you what I am persuaded about. One day somebody told me, please write a tract for us. I said, on what? He said, on evangelism. I said, you see, I can't write tracts for purposes. I don't know whether you get my point. Because they read my tracts. We had about 18 tracts out. You know, I shall not want a cheerful giver. This is faith. The redemption as in Christ. Predestination. Daniel. You know, all kinds of tracts. And I said, I want one that we'll use for evangelism. I said, take any of the ones that we have. We can produce it for you for evangelism. But for me to go and sit down and write something for you for evangelism, I said, I can't. Do you know my reason? I said, I write according to my persuasion. Now, when I am through, if it heals the sick, fine. If it saves the wicked, good. Do you get my point? But write me a message to save the wicked man. I'm sorry, I can't. If I say this, it might sound funny. I hope you'll be able to understand. It's almost like manipulating him. No, I'm telling you the truth. There is a power of the spirit that converts the wicked man. How God does it, I don't know. I don't know who. Okay, it's Kingsley that we know. There was a man who came here one day to see me. You've heard me preach on radio, haven't you? They say, motivational speaker. I hate that title anyway. Like I said, I say what I believe. It motivates a lot of people. Good for them. That's not my job. Look, one day I will start preaching fire and brimstone. If it motivates you, that's your problem. It will not motivate the wicked man. I won't change what I'm saying. But a man showed up, you know, the midst of those my motivational kind of speaking that people say anyway, and said that he never believed in God until he heard me preach. He came from Oka. I sat down here one evening. I finished preaching. I just sat down after preaching. He knelt down beside me here and was talking to me, older than me, of course, as a person, and said, sir, I never believed in God until I heard you preach. You didn't hear me say, let me prove to you 6 proofs that God exists on this earth. You didn't ever hear me say that kind of thing. I just declared what I was preaching, what I understood. I preached it with the fervor with which I believe it. And it converted a man from not being sure that there's God or that there's no God at all to believing firmly that God is alive and he's well. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, we speak according to what we are persuaded of. That confidence comes only because you are speaking that which God has already spoken. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's how it comes. We're talking about walking divine authority. You don't, those days we think that when you want to pray, if you want something to happen, you close your eyes. You know, you strengthen your stomach. You tighten it very well. And then you speak with a loud voice. If I'm praying for somebody and I shout like that, no, as a matter of fact, it's one of 2 things. Either I'm trying to impress the person that I'm actually praying for him, you know. I remember one day when I was in school. One sister said I should pray for her. She was a very good friend. So he said, oh yeah, pastor, come and pray. I said, oh yeah, I think she injured her leg. I prayed about 3 sentences when I finished. He said, thank you very much. That prayer was too short. I wonder whether I went beyond the roof. Now, sometimes when you're praying for people, you just want to make it look like it went beyond the roof. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in faith and in total agreement, according to what is written. Listen, if I do that, I'm trying to impress you, not God. I do it a lot. I do it a lot. Because the person must be sure you're praying for him. I'm telling you. One day, you know, my wife was going to deliver, so she went to Benin, was staying with her mom, and so I was coming back to Enugu, and I knew she probably would deliver before we'll see next. So I just wanted to leave a word with her. And I dreamt one funny dream that night. I won't, because of time, I won't explain it. So I just said, okay, I'm about to leave. Let me pray for you. I said, where many people go and don't return, you will go and you will come back a conqueror. We say, ah, he's a man of God. You pray very funny. And you expect him to say, ah, in the name of Jesus, baby, I speak to you. Come down and do not. It's not bad, though. It's good if you want to do that. But it's not really necessary. I knew what I was saying. I spoke out of persuasion. You're getting what I'm saying? So, you know, those that we used to think that's what, if you want to get the effect, answer to prayer, that's what you do. So when we want to pray, shake your right leg, shake your leg. And you get ready. That's why people punch Satan, kick Satan. Look, a man that has real power, you know, he doesn't have to shout. You know, I've been saying that all the time. He doesn't have to shout. Are you getting my point? He doesn't have to shout. He just speaks confidently because he's speaking according to what God has already spoken. Do you get my point? I realize that, no, you don't have to shout and, you know, I'm not saying, look, if you have moved upon to shout, I have prayed with shouting before, you know, out of passion. You know, there's a way something grips you, all right? So, but that's not what makes it's not the shouting that makes the prayer effective. All right, is the fact that there is power in the words that are being spoken. And I'm trying to say something again about how that power comes. So I have discovered that it's to know what God wants to do and to agree with what God has planned to do. Whether you whisper it, you get my point, or you shout it, is the same effect. What matters is that it is in agreement with what God plans to do. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. All right, that is confidence. He said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, therefore, we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. That is, there's nothing they can do. Therefore, I will not fear. Say, I'm not going to fear. The Lord is my helper. Are you getting my point? What have we said? Boldness comes upon knowing what the Lord has said. Now, let's go back to where I said we should read Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, Jeremiah was being spoken to by the Lord. God said in verse 4, from verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, verse 6, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say. Everybody say that. Do not say. Thank you. He said, do not say, because you see, these are the things that remove the power and authority from your words. When you start explaining the reason why you can't do what God said you can do, do you understand my point? And that's because that is what you were so conversant with. You have tried before, you didn't pass. You've tried before, they did not employ you. You have tried. So what Satan is using that to do is to build a complex. This man had a complex. What is the complex? I am a youth. I cannot do this, you know. Let me tell you something. Experience, you have to be very careful. It sometimes caps people. You've heard of experiments in which you put an animal in a box, put a glass, this is over it, the animal starts jumping. Jump, the head will hit the ball with the glass. After some time, they remove the glass. It keeps jumping to that same level. It doesn't jump beyond the level because he has told himself, I can't jump beyond this level. I mean, they said that elephants, that's how they are also. When they are very small, you train them that, you see, this stick, it can injure you. The elephant becomes very big, and you see one little stick, they put it down, don't cross that, it will never cross it, because he has it in his mind, this stick is bigger than me. In fact, I have a story to tell you. Interesting story. It's one of these children's books, you know, primary school books. Now, I didn't use this in primary school, but I read it one day, and I had a very good laugh. There was a village, somewhere in the middle of tropical rainforest, and there was a tiger nearby that used to come and hunt in the village, you know, harass people, take their animals, and sometimes kill people in the village. And everybody in the village was afraid of that tiger. Now, there was this old woman, a widow, who lived alone. Her house was even closer to the forest than that of everybody else. She was very poor. Now, get this. She was a very poor woman. Therefore, her roof leaks. So anytime it will rain, water will be dripping inside the house, and she will say, oh, drip, drip, drip. This thing is always dripping, drip, drip, drip. That the thing is really harassing her. So now, bear that story in mind. Then there was another man in the village somewhere who had donkeys, and one day one of his donkeys was missing. And he went to go and look for the donkey. And it became late. When he was returning home, he had not found the donkey. Now, that's the second person. That same night, this particular night, when that woman was looking for, the man was looking for his donkey, it started raining. Do you understand? And the tiger had come near the village again. So because of the rain, it moved near the hut of that woman to take small shelter from the rain. Now it's raining, the woman's roof is leaking, and there's a tiger, dangerous tiger outside, who knew he was dangerous. And there was a man who was looking for his donkey, and it's late, and it's raining. He too saw the light of that through that woman's window and started heading towards that place to come and take small shelter from the rain. Now, listen to the story. Because it was raining, the drip, drip started again. Drip, drip, and the woman would be dragging her furniture all around the house. Say, oh, drip, 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 I started again. This drip, 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 anytime it comes, I'm always so afraid because I don't know what I'm going to do. In fact, if that dangerous tiger comes, I will prefer it to this drip, drip, drip because this drip, drip, drip is so terrible. And the tiger was outside and was hearing, there is somebody more terrible than me in this village, and his name is Drip, Drip, Drip. That was what the tiger heard. So the woman kept on shifting furniture up and down, and the tiger couldn't see, but thought the woman was hiding from Drip, Drip, Drip. Oh, this woman, that this Drip, Drip, Drip must be terrible. Oh my God. So there is somebody, a creature more terrible than me in this village. At that point in time, the man looking for his donkey got to near that house. Because it was dark, he saw the big tiger, and he looked to him like a donkey. So he said, oh, foolish donkey, here you are. So he whipped out his stick, wham, on the tiger's head. He said, I've been looking for you the whole day. So this is where you are. I have got you now. Where? What are you going to do? And the tiger said, ah, drip, drip, drip has caught me. And the man beat the donkey tiger. He also had a point. He thought he was beating his donkey. And he sat on top of the donkey. And he moved. And the tiger said, oh, drip, drip, drip. And the tiger was moving. Hey, move, my friend. Bam! He beat the dog with the tiger. And it was night. He didn't know. Finally, he got there, tied the tiger down, tied it properly so you can't run again, and went to his house. Next morning, he came out. Behold, it was the tiger everybody has been looking for. And they were hailing the man, bam, bam, man, you caught this tiger. Oh, God bless you. Because the tiger thought drip, drip, drip had got him. Do you understand my point? Now you understand why God had to tell Jeremiah, do not say, I am a youth. Because there's this terrible thing called, I'm a youth, that will prevent you from doing what you normally can do. If that tiger had not thought that man's name was Drip, 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 you understand my point? He would have eaten the man, sharp, sharp. He would have wasted time. But he thought, oh, I'm smaller than Drip, Drip, Drip. The Drip, Drip, Drip that somebody is afraid of, I will prefer to meeting Drip, Drip, Drip must be a very terrible Drip, Drip, Drip. Not knowing that Drip, Drip, Drip were just drops of water. Tom, Tom, Tom. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God said to Jeremiah, do not say, I am a youth. It's very important. Let's continue reading. Now, these are the things I want us to understand. It's not just not saying I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. I want you to notice something again. It is to whom I send you that you will go. He said, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. That's the second thing. It's not just where I send you, but what I tell you to say. Now, I've said to you before that God normally doesn't command people concerning that which is natural. What I mean is that God will not say to Jeremiah, thou shalt eat in the morning. Because without commandment, Jeremiah will eat in the morning. What does he command against? That which is natural. That is, when he says, you shall go to all whom I send you. That is, if God didn't tell him that, there are people he will look at and he will not agree to go because he will be afraid of them. Do you understand my point? He said, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Because there are words that God will give people and you will be afraid to deliver it. When you see the stature of the person, God said, these are things you must not do. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. Because there are things in life can be very, very fearful. And I'm like, if economic situation rubs you in the face, you can be afraid of living in Nigeria. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But I say it all the time. This is Banky's person. I mean, just about me. You know, in my house, we don't use freezer anymore right now. My freezer is good. Nothing wrong with the freezer. But there's no power to power it. I can't use the gen all the time to keep the freezer cool. So we just found it easier in the house to decommission. You know, they decommission something. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, that's just a small thing. That's what is power. That one is a small thing. Bad road, that one, another small thing. There are so many kinds of small things. When they put them together, they become like an elephant. You follow what I'm saying? And people will look and say, no. This is a difficult country to live in. Do you understand my point? We are not able to prosper here. Now, once they make that statement, you know the interesting part? The ability to prosper is removed. Please, I need to emphasize this. What you believe and what you say controls the things that can happen or cannot happen. Those are the things that control the things that can happen or can now. But what Satan wants us to believe is that the things that we have seen are the things that control the things that can happen or cannot happen. But it's not like that. Because that's what God told this man. Don't say I'm a youth. You can look at it. We discussed it before about contemplating the mess. You can look at all the troubles in society. Please, look at them. It is not faith to close your eyes. No, it's not faith to close your eyes. It is faith to open your eyes wide. You will look at it well. The Bible says that Abraham contemplated his body. It's only King James that made the mistake of saying did not. No. Read every translation, Romans chapter 4. It said Abraham contemplated his body, though it was as good as dead. He said, but, that's the word, but with regard to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. So we're not saying you don't see the problem. Look, we see how we see the wahala. We see it. We do see it. But it does not dictate what we believe. And it does not dictate what we say. Because we have come to understand that what we believe and what we say is what we control, or is what controls what we eventually happen. Do you get my point? Now, I mean, you've driven a car before. Many of you have driven cars. And have you noticed something? When you are driving, you speed, brake, turn, do all kinds of things. But if you are used to driving yourself all the time, then one day they put you in the passenger side, in front. If the man driving speeds too much, you're like, slow down now. No, I'm trying to bring out something. If there's an obstruction in front and it seems to be heading for it, look, slow down. Now you're kind of panicky. Do you know why? You are judging based on what you can see, the speed of the car. But if you were the one driving, you will judge based on your control of the car, the fact that you are holding the steering, the fact that you can hit the brake anytime. Therefore, you relax. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And that's exactly how it is spiritually. Where you will get to, where that car will get to, is not dependent, listen, upon its current speed or the current trajectory. You get my point? The direction is going. What controls it is the driver. If he doesn't like where it's going, he turns his steering. Is that not so? Yes, he turns his steering. This is a matter of fact, medical fact. They found out that in accidents, the worst injuries are always the passengers. You know why? Because last moment, the driver swerves away from his own side. It's reflex. It's just reflex. It's not like he's a wicked man. If you were the driver, you'd do the same thing too. Unless you love the person on the right side so much that you say, Nala, in the reflex, I command in the name of Jesus, go to the back, you turn the other way and take the impact. Yet it happens. Now, what I'm going to bring out is this. It is not where the car is going that decides what happens. What decides what happens? Where the driver wants it to go. You can adjust the things that happen in life. Do you follow my point? That is why you don't allow life control how you drive. You are getting the point I'm going to say. No, you don't. You make adjustments when necessary, but you still continue going in the direction in which you are going. Benin Lagos Road, you know it's very bad. You know the road is very bad. It's very bad. It's a very bad road, isn't it? But have you noticed something? People have not stopped passing it. Have you noticed that one? It's very bad. Tomorrow morning, you have business in Lagos, what do? You just leave earlier. Instead of making adjustment for 7 hours, you make it for 12 hours, but you must get to Lagos. Lagos you will go to. That's what I'm calling calling driving the issues of life. What I'm trying to say is that they say NEPA is failing. Look, listen, what I want to do, I will do it. We go around doing seminars. Is it stopping us? No. What we just do, when we're parking, we park our generator in the boot. But the seminar, we shall do. That's why God had to explain to this man, do not say, I'm a youth. No, you don't go around repeating the problems. The reason is because once you say it, now let me say something there, something I thought, I don't know when I said it, I heard this in one of the messages, I just feel like I should say it again. Jesus said, as I was speaking about Jesus Christ, he said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. One of those messages I taught earlier, when we started teaching here under man on assignment, I talked about the mighty hand. That anytime God sends you on an assignment, he sends you with a mighty hand. Do you get my point? That is, Moses, go and deliver the children of Israel. He didn't give him a train to you to carry all of them or a big ship. He gave him a mighty hand. So with that mighty hand, Moses will go there and say, let my people go. If you don't let them go, I will kill your firstborn. And that's it. The firstborn, they are dead. What did Moses do? All he did was what? Talk. No, that's all because God sent him with a mighty hand. In the same manner, when the children of Israel were going to enter the promised land, God also sent them with a mighty hand. That is, there is a force working on their side. He said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. What it means is that there is an enablement that God has placed inside me. Paul called it grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That is, you see it, it appears like I'm struggling and producing more results more than everybody else. He said, but it's not I. Is a grace of God, the power of God working with me. I'm bringing out something. Once God gives you a vision, gives you a word, there is a mighty hand that goes with it, period. Now, this is the issue. When the man says, I can't because I'm a youth, the grace disappears. Then, like we said before, at the end of the day, they say, try. Okay, let me try. Let me just show you that I can't. Then he does it, and of course he can't. And you know what he says? Did I not tell you? And Satan says, yes, you told me. And I heard it. Thank you very much for telling me. You're my good friend. You know, you are a very honest person. You don't deceive yourself. So I hear things like that. I just know Satan is talking. Satan says, you know it cannot be done. How can it be done? I know it cannot be done. Thank you very much. Say it again. It cannot be done. Say it again. It cannot be done. Thank you. As you are saying it, the grace to do it is departing. How will it be done? I don't know. So it cannot be done. Say, no, no, no. It can be done. And in fact, it will be done. Then suddenly, God brings the grace. Please go and listen to that message again. What I call the sure mercies of David. The mercies of David. There's nowhere you want to get to in life that God has not sent help. You may not have contacted them yet, but you must stay in the place of going to work. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like we're talking about that Lagos. You are going to Lagos. Once you head towards Lagos, you will get there. It might be difficult. It might be slow. But you will get there. If the road is so bad that small cars can't pass, jeeps will start passing alone. You will find a jeep to carry you. If you don't know this Lagos, I must get to, God will arrange it so that you take a flight. Once you are facing Lagos, please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. There's nowhere that you want to get to in life that God has not ordained people to help. Listen, there are circumstances of life that God has prepared that you have not yet encountered. Let me explain what I'm saying. A lot of our parents who worked as civil servants all their lives and all of that, they still don't understand the concept that a man does not need to have a job. I don't know whether you get the point. The other day, no, my brother's in down there. My mom and I were talking at home. He said that, there was one NNPC job that he applied for. He was praying that he would get it. I said, what's the big deal? He said, you know government. I said, what is government? He said, government jobs are secure. I said, so was NITEL job secure? I said, NITEL was government too. Was it not? I said, mommy, oh God, you don't get the point. That generation has passed. Of security. Look, you can work for federal government and one day they privatize federal government and you're on your own. You'll be surprised. I'm going to ask something. The circumstances that God will use to produce his work in you, you may never have seen it before. I don't know whether you got what I said. He said, eyes have not seen. Neither have ears heard. That is, the way by which God wants to work in your behalf, it may never have happened before. Because when people say that, I can't do it, what they mean is that, judging by the current circumstances and the history that I'm conversant with, it is impossible.
Do you get my point? You know, I was reading a book some time ago, and they're talking about the fact that two people, the two prophets in Revelations, that they will, I think they will die, they will be killed, and the whole world will see it. Now, 100 years ago, people had all kinds of interpretations for the whole world will see it. Because there was no CNN. There was no live broadcast of, you know, live images all over the world. But a child born these days, when he picks the Bible, and he reads that something will happen, and the whole world will see it. You know, he doesn't think about it. He doesn't cross it. He doesn't think about it. He knows that Glo is advertising TV on your phone with DSTV. That he can be on, he can be driving, somebody can be driving as in a car, and he picks out his 3G phone, and he says, something's happening in America right now. He said, what? A friend calls him, say, let me tune in. And that's it. He's looking at it live. But 100 years ago, people were thinking that John did not know what he was saying. Do you get my point? Now, if they tell you that God is going to come and deliver you, and, you know, like, carry you like birds on the wing and stuff like that. If they say it now, you are waiting for a plane. You are used to planes. They fly. They can deliver people from anywhere. They can, you know. But 500 years ago, you see, how would that happen? I forget it. Can't happen. Where there's some a prophetic teacher will now come about trying to describe how the spirit moves and it can carry people. But you know, this day and age, you don't even need all that fantastic interpretation. You want to see it live, tune to CNN. You want to be carried like a plane, like a bird. Come on, enter a plane. No, I was reading something in the latest edition of Economist. It's an advertisement anyway from John Templeton organization and interviewing different people on has science made God disappear? And one man said, yes, he should have. Different people were saying all kinds of things. And I just laughed. I said, foolish people. One man said that, you know, people should have understood that those things are ridiculous. How can there be day and night before the sun was created? That those things are absurd. And I just shook my head. I said, ignorant man talking. If he was a man of faith, he should have asked himself, that what did he mean when he said day and night? Because it happened before the sun. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to bring out something. The way by which God will give you explanations, the way by which God will produce events in your life, you may never have seen it. That is why, you know, I told you I don't believe this thing works. Once it is written, I believe it. Once God has declared it, I believe it. Because the one I am going to experience, maybe it has never worked in the life of anybody before me. Because when God sends, he sends his spirit. Do you get my point? When God sends, he sends his spirit. Last time we were in Benin, we were talking about this. I told you we were going to discuss it. This financing of ministry and all of that. I shared things with people. One of the reasons why I did is I said, look, there's a divine order. Let's learn it. It has not worked like that in the past. You see, you know, you see it on, I don't mean that to be critical, as just a matter of fact. You see it on TBN. People say that, well, this is a special gift we are giving you this week. If you give us $20, we'll give you this special gift. You know why they do that? That's the best way they know to get money. From day one, I told myself, I ain't going to do it. If you see me do it, know it's backsliding. Just tell yourself convincingly, Pastor, it's backsliding. Doesn't mean I'm a sinner now. Just means that my faith has failed in that area. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And I tell people all the time, no, that you will never see me do it. He said, what do you mean? I said, wait, was I called to preach? Yes. I said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit, that there are people who are called also to pay. Forget that one. Oh, you know what I do? I pray for them. Yes, I do. I do. Some I know, some I don't, but I pray. You know, people. Jesus prayed for different kinds of people. He prayed for those that he could see, Peter, James, and John. And he prayed for those who we believe by their word. That's how he did his prayer. I am praying for these ones, not only them, but for anyone who will believe, just because Peter said. Let me tell you something, that's how spiritual things work. Anytime you pick your Bible and you read the account of Peter and you say amen, there's a prayer that Jesus prayed that's working on your behalf. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. So I said, look, that's what I do. I pray for them. I'm bringing out something. Whether it has worked for other people like that in the past, I don't know. But I discovered a truth. Alright? And I'm sticking with it. You know what I believe? No, this one, I know for sure. Don't be saying I am not shaking about it at all. You know, one day Moses wanted to build a tabernacle. And people were bringing gifts. Then the workman told Moses that the gifts are so many, we don't have space to walk again. So Moses said, it is enough.
You know, you hardly find that in churches these days. You know that? But what do we find? Brethren, we still need... I'm laughing at all of us. Not that anybody, do you get my point? So that we have not reached a particular level. And I have sworn under God that we'll get to the Moses level. Yes. Say, brethren, you know, I want you to tax yourself. There's great work to be done. You won't hear that from Banky's mouth. No, you won't. You won't. I will instruct people with the word of God and I will pray. I've said that thing again and again. That one day they will say, Pastor, take. I'll look at the amount of money. I'll say, what are we? That is, I'll go home and start saying, God, what do we do just to be able to do the work of ministry with this one? Because, sir, all what we have been doing is paying for TV, praying for satellite space, paying for this, paying for that. That all our expenses in 10 years is covered by this single offering. So, dear Lord, what do we do? That's the kind of one you will announce gently to your people. Please, brethren, please, if there's any money you want to give us, invest it first. Don't bring it yet. later on, right now, the one you guys have brought, we have not yet finished spending it. And please, don't distract us from the ministry of the word and prayer. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Don't make sure I'm not too poor or too rich. He said, if I'm poor, I will steal. And that's why a lot of people lie. It's poverty. He said, or if I have too much, I will take the name of the Lord in vain. I will start doing the one that God hasn't sent me. So you will tell brethren, please, I know you love us and you want this work to move forward. But please, can you invest your money somewhere else first? Next year. Yes, that's the Moses anointing. Has he worked for that people like that before? I don't know. I don't care. But I discovered from the scriptures, yes, most certainly I did. Do I believe it? Oh, you can be sure I do. Will it produce results? Relax, it will. You are getting what I'm going to say? Yes, that's what is written. That is what God has said. It has built a hope in me. Because, you know, price of rice has doubled. The young lions can hunger and thirst. But they that seek the Lord. Look, price of rice, I don't know why people shake at such things. So look at the wheat now, very expensive. Is this the first time? It will come down again. It goes. They go around in cycles. No, all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. The only one that abides forever is what? The word of God. So we hold on to the word of God. They say, bread people are on strike. They're analyzing prices. I said, they will soon bake bread. They will bake it again. And the price will go up. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we will have more money to buy the more expensive bread. You won't hear me say, hey, what are we going to do now? Look at it. Somebody was telling me about a comedian in Lagos who turned it to a joke and said, God, don't catch all the Ajebota people. That those of us who chop gari and yam, the price never changed. They're all the ones that are chopping bread and rice. See, also, fried rice with chicken, say the price has gone up. Look, for me, they say, things are getting so expensive. I said, listen, I said that one from day one, and God has not failed me yet. If you triple the price of fuel, I will have money to buy. As I said, you know, this car is very fuel efficient. So go and buy a lawnmower and be driving it because it's fuel efficient. In Jesus' name, we will drive a car that has 12 cylinders. And we will have money to buy the fuel in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. Don't let the events of this life drive you up and down. Be careful that the world doesn't drive you up and down. Be very careful. There are times, let me tell you something. There are times you will sit down and do something very foolish just to prove to God that you believe him. I'm telling you. Everybody running, look at what opportunity is. I say, I'm tired of running up and down. He said, look at the potential. He said, no, wait. God, I am tired. Last week, I went to one opportunity here. The week before, I was here. Going up and down like Satan. Say, God, let's do something. In repentance and in rest, will you be saved? He said, God, I'm not moving from here. Sit down. Opportunity, I'm not going. This time around, I am not going. People say, no, man, you are being slack. No. You see, for you personally at that point in time, you are trying to win yourself from this satanic behavior. Going to and fro. So from where have you come? He said, from going to and fro the surface of this earth. That's what I mean by satanic behavior. There are times you have to win yourself. No, I'm telling you, you've been chasing opportunity from here to here to here to here to here. And you never catch them. You should know that in repentance and in rest, you will be saved. Sit down somewhere. So opportunity is coming. He said, I'm not going. He said, don't you want? He said, yes, I don't want that one. Anyone that will not come to my house, I don't want. You'll be amazed that one day, somebody will just call you. Say, oh boy, where are you? They say, I did for house. Please, we need to see you now. Something important is going down. He said, sorry, I'm not going anywhere. He said, please, we will send our driver. I said, very good. Send him. No, I know what I'm saying. I mean, let's sit down on our message, all right? Jeremiah chapter 1, all right? That's where we were. So God spoke to him. He said, do not say, I'm a youth. We have established that is what God has already spoken that we must say, and that is when we swim in divine authority. He said, wherever I send you to, you will go there, and whatever I tell you to say, that is exactly what you will say. He said, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. That's a commandment. God does not give advice. Please, you must understand this. God wasn't giving counsel. He was giving an express instruction. Disobey at your own peril. He said, do not be afraid of their faces. Why? Again, he doesn't say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. No. He said, the reason is because I am with you to deliver you. There is a way you operate such things. Sometimes what you do is maybe it looks like you want to be afraid. You don't just say, I am not afraid. Because God always gives a reason. And what was the reason he gave? I am with you to deliver you. So when the opposition comes on so strong, you look them in the faces and simply tell yourself, I am not afraid because the Lord is with me to deliver me. When you speak according to what God has said, then that spirit, don't forget that, then that spirit that he sent with you, you know, the Lord has sent me and his spirit, then that spirit is manifested. Do you get my point? It's not about trying. You know, I've said this thing 1,000 times. I hope people will understand what I'm saying. Christianity is not about trying. It's about discovering and agreeing. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, what has he said? I agree with him and repeat it. That's all. It's not about trying. Don't forget our spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. I've not forgotten. I'm getting ready for it. One day I will announce that we will start. And the reason, what we're trying to do, which is why I'm talking about it now, is that we're trying to discover and agree. Because once you discover and you agree, there is no how on earth you will not succeed. There's no how. You will most certainly succeed. It's not possible for you to fail. Because we want to discover and what? Agree. There are things that God wants to do, but people are working with a wrong, maybe God wants them to, maybe a man is praying for a breakthrough, praying for prosperity. And in his mind, all right, it's in Lagos. In his mind, it's in America. In his mind, the thing is in Abuja. Now, God said, I have heard your prayer for prosperity. I have heard your prayer for breakthrough. Do you follow? Now, I want to move you down to Abakiliki and you will discover the prosperity and breakthrough that I planned before your father married your mother. Do you get my point? Then, one day, of course, because that's how God moves. He will come and a friend will call you and say, oh boy, job day for Abakiliki. Because you have been praying for prosperity, which you thought was in Lagos. You say, I know they go. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But then if we understand the plan of God and we understand the purpose of God, next time God says, job day for Abakiliki, through a friend, instantly, you don't, you know, it doesn't cross your mind to say, yeah, is it possible? You just go and check it out. Do you follow my point? And that is how you will discover the place that God has ordained for you when you have removed all those hindrances. That's why I'm teaching on, like I said, discovering and agreeing. We'll talk about spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. You know, take business as an example. One of the things we'll explain is that business is about blessing people. It's not about making money. Do you follow my point? Business is simply give and it shall be given unto you. You bless people with something and God causes them to give back to you. A lot of fantastic investments or ideas that people will have executed, maybe in a country like ours. You know why they never did it? They checked how much money they will make. And it did not look like it was big, so they changed their minds. Do you understand? Do you know if they will have counted how many people will be blessed? You know, my example I like to give all the time
is that of all these British telecom companies. We wanted to roll out GSM. Our president, Obasanjo, then went and explained to Tony Blair, said, Nigeria is a good place. Please tell these people to come and invest. And they checked and said, after checking everything, those guys don't have money. They can't pay for phone. No, that was the conclusion. They looked at us. No money in their pocket. Most of them are living below the poverty line. Phones cost above the prosperity line. You know, look, this is what they call a man of God. If a real man of God was there and say, they cannot come out of poverty if we don't help them communicate. Do you understand my point? Let us see the little we can do. You know, if you see a lot of the so-called aid to send to Africa, they send to Africa. I'm sorry to say, it's pure wickedness. I'm not one of those that believe in punishing the rich man so as to bless the poor man. No, I don't believe in it. That's how you remain poorer still. And you see a rich man, thank God for his life. Do you get my point? Don't wish that his car will jam. The car won't jam. He has ABS. Do you understand my point? Okada is more likely to jam first. Believe me. I've never seen Okada with ABS. You don't see him before? I'm telling you. And in case he jams, he has airbags. So when you see a rich man, wish him well. Do you follow my point? No, I believe that thing. There's some people inside their heart. See all these big houses. Don't mind them. They are not comfortable inside. What if the house just collapses now? More huts collapse every day than my houses. No, get the point clear. So I don't believe in that at all, all right? What I'm just trying to say is this. When is it they're sending it a lot of times? You know what they do? I'm sorry, this is a matter of fact. They use it to create employment for their people. There was a time they offered Nigeria $1 billion in loan education to support education. But we had to only buy all the computers. We were supposed to buy supply computers to universities and all of that. We couldn't buy the computers from where we wanted. We had to buy it from America. And they said that the interest rate is only 1.5% per annum or something like that. One joke. They don't know that's still a lot of money. Let me explain. Go and check when they are selling to themselves. No interest payment for 3 years. They will write it clearly. It's enslavement. It's wickedness. Thank God we didn't take it. Give us the money. Let's go and buy from Asia. No, they don't go agree. They don't go agree. No, so I'm bringing out something. A lot of the people, they don't love you. And it's not their fault. And I'm not saying you should be angry with them. You are responsible for yourself. Do you follow my point? Don't worry anybody else about your wahala. But if you are the rich man, help somebody else. That's what I always preach. Don't demand somebody else helps you. No. Look up to God. From whence comes my help? Do you understand my point? My help comes from the Lord. That's the way it is, okay? Now, let me just complete my message. Talking about discovering and agreeing. So if the people have thought about it, that let us really help these people develop. Then we may not be able to build networks all over the place, invest so much money, but let us just come simply and build a small one for them to communicate between Lagos and Abuja and Port Harcourt. Let's just take the three major cities. Do you follow? Do you know they will have come and discovered that the people on IMF paper, they are living below poverty line. But in reality, oh boy, the boys, they chop that this poverty, they fear them. No. You won't know. You know what somebody said recently? What I'm saying is a matter of fact. I forgot who told me this story. I think I was in Benin. This is our convention. Somebody was telling me this. There are some photographers went to the, Uganda. They wanted to do a documentary on Uganda. They went to all the poor places, all the slums. So 15 people, father, mother, children, and cousins living in one room. They go photograph that one. They show where they bath on that tree outside. Very nice to photograph. Then when they finish all of that, the man said, okay, let's go to the other side of town. They now went to the Victoria Island of Uganda. Photograph now. They said, no, this is not a true picture of the situation. The guy said, there are Ugandans living in there. No, I'm serious. People said, no. When they want to show it internationally, that's why I Richard Quest. I love that guy. I loved Richard Quest because he came to Lagos. Do you know? The only way I knew it was Lagos was when he took his photograph from Oshodi. I said, you know, only one place looks like this on this earth. Nowhere in China, nowhere in Mexico, not in South Africa, nowhere in the world. Only Oshodi, not even in Nigeria apart from Oshodi. Looks like Oshodi.
when you see the human heads and the yellow buses, they are not going anywhere because the gospel is so bad. I said, this now should. Then I heard him say, welcome to Nigeria. I said, God bless you. Then, do you know, when I watched the program, even me, I feel, I said, this is not Nigeria. When the guy went to some two areas for a Koyu for VI, when he came out of one of these steam baths, and the guy was smiling like, yes, I just had the steam bath. Of course, the guy lodged in Sheraton. He showed us what Nigeria can be like. And he explained. And that's something I like about people like Richard Quest and Reader's Digest. They will tell you, yes, there are problems, and they will give you a few tips on avoiding the problems. Everywhere has wahala. So a man wants to magnify the problem. No. Do you follow my point? So those guys magnified our problem and said that we cannot buy phones. And you know what happened? MTN, those Zimbabwe guys, Econet, they came. I said, our brethren, they can buy phone. Don't mind an idea, they go, they pretend. They can't, just watch us. Look, I remember one of my friends, he works in MTN, he's an engineer. He said, when they were building, that's when they were rolling out, that they used to build one base station. That is, they will build a base station, all right, and it's instantly overloaded. He said, the cost of building a base station, that base station makes it in one day. He was working in Port Harcourt. He's still there. He told me, he said then MTN was building base stations like crazy. Because once they mounted that station, that one makes its money back in 24 hours for the volume of traffic going on it. The guys looked and said, my God, we want a piece. You know, they are running down now. They are running down now. Before I told you, when the door is always closed. Before they start serving the feast, it's all the crumbs they want to come and collect. When not that MTN get their own personal problems, those guys will have been like Microsoft in Nigeria, dominating everywhere. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. If the people had some love for the people and said, let us help them, do you follow my point? They will have discovered, you know, if you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I said something there. Ruth, you know Ruth? Ruth, the great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. The great-grandmother of David. We look at her now, a woman of great faith. But do you know Ruth did not try to have faith? You know that? Read that book, I explained it there. Ruth didn't try. Ruth just looked at her mother-in-law and said, this woman will suffer if she goes back home alone. That was all. The Bible says faith works by love. Naomi must not suffer. That was all that was in her mind. That was why Ruth followed Naomi home. And then God now established her. Look, if those guys that Obasanjo called that time and said, come, if they had said, let us see how we can help people. The Bible said, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. He said, but there is he that withholds more than his meat, but tends only towards poverty. That's a, now, as I'm talking about this spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies, is discovering and agreeing. If they had discovered that business is not just about getting, it is about blessing. Listen, they will have been drinking. Do you know how much money MTN turns over in a year? If you hear it, you'll be afraid. They said, no, they are living below poverty line. They can't afford phone. They can't. You know now, We are, in fact, you know, some of us can use phone now to do spoon and knife when we want to eat. Say, give me a Nokia to use to cut that yam. I want a Samsung to pick the meat. Yes, because before you finish, you'll buy one phone, getting your utility for it, another one comes out. And you think, but you know what I'm saying is it's true. You know, I thought about it. To fill my tank costs more money than buying a handset. Yes, and I have to fill this tank every week. Oh God, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what was I going to explain? It's about agreeing with God and speaking like he's speaking. That is what puts us in authority. That's what I'm saying. Let's continue reading Jeremiah. He said, God now touched my mouth and said to me, verse 9, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. He said, see, I have this day
set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, because I am ready to perform my word. I like the way King James says it. He said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. That is, once I say something, I don't let it be. I sit down and I make sure that everything I say comes to pass. He said, look from the book of the Lord and read. None of these will fail, neither shall any lack its mate. He said, why? Because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has gathered them. That's the same thing he was telling Jeremiah here. Please let me read this one before I close. Again, in verse 13, he says, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. Now, I don't want to read all of that because let me not miss my point. They describe all the things he wants to do. He said, I will utter my judgments against them. Verse 17 says, therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you, and do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and the bronze walls against the whole land, against kings, princes, priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Please notice what he said. I have a plan. Calamity is going to come forth. He said, therefore, prepare yourself to do what? To speak exactly according to the plan that I have. Please, I hope you are getting my point. It is not to defend yourself, no. It is to speak according to the plan that I have. Listen, children of God, that is the assignment. That is how authority comes. Later on, we'll still continue this discussion next time. Because, you see, life responds to words. Do you get my point? And the most potent words on this earth are the ones spoken first by God and echoed by men. Real prophecy is not to just get up and talk. Real prophecy is to discover that which God has expressed that he plans to do. Do you follow my point? And as long as you are speaking only in accordance with that, he said, they can rise up against you, but they will not overcome you. He said, because I am with you to deliver you. Are you getting my point? In the presence of the word of God, that's where the real power, the real authority is. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, it's the same story every day. You know, I said something about that. Let me close with that. That Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ, three temptations. Now, we think that those are just the three temptations of Jesus Christ, that particular day. But actually, it wasn't. I've said it before. Now, actually, what happens is that was a summary. God has a way of summarizing things for us to see. Do you follow me? That is, every day in life, those three temptations come up again and again. Those were the temptations that Jesus Christ faced as a young man. Those were the temptations he faced when he was in his 20s until that particular day. God just gave us a summary of what he has had to face. And I'm explaining that you and I face the same temptations again every day. Use the anointing I have given you, turn it to bread. You must understand something. If you're a preacher, listen to this. You know, if I finish preaching very powerfully, and I tell you that, brethren, as I finish preaching, there is an anointing upon that word. Each person connect with it with 5,000 naira. If you don't have it here, give me a piece of paper and say, God, this is my covenant with you. You know, all of it, look, you will go and bring it. You know, that's our Jeep. We'll buy it after a few weeks. What do you think? What am I trying to explain? The discipline is not with you not to respond to such calls, because you don't even know when it will really be genuine. The discipline is with me not to do such things. And I say, we need it. Listen, when they told Jesus to turn stones to bread, he was hungry.
So the need does not justify it. That is the temptation we go through every day. We think one day God is going to call you and say, hey, Jukubike, come, time for your temptation. 40 days fast, after that I send devil after you. Of course, if he did that, you think you will get ready now. You will get ready. Say, Pastor Vanki, please pray for me. I'm about to encounter Satan. Pray for me that I will have the grace. As soon as you finish, before you disappear to the mountain, the first temptation comes. You don't realize that's come. You are waiting to go to the mountain. No, I know what I'm saying. No. But how did, let's even leave that. How did Jesus overcome it? Let me tell you something. Every day in life, don't ever use things like this to overcome temptation. No, me, I can't. That's a joke. You know that is a joke. It's a joke. There's no man or woman that does not have vulnerable moments. There's none. Do you follow my point? The defense is just what Jesus did. He just, all the time, he will quote. Now, we think that he's reminding himself of the commandment of God. No, he's releasing the power to obey into the situation. You know, I explained something. That when Jesus looked at the woman caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It wasn't advice. We think it's advice. The same way, okay, let me ask you. When he saw the man who was lying down on his bed beside the pool of Siloam, and he says, take up your pallet and walk. Was he advice? No. You, do you want to be made whole? The story is that take up your bed and walk. In the same manner, I looked at that woman and said, neither do I condemn you. Now, this is my commandment. Go and sin no more. There was power to live righteously, releasing to her life. Do you get my point? In the same manner, when he faced Satan, it wasn't strength. You know, I keep saying, Christianity is not about trying, struggling. Let us also try. No. Christianity is about discovering God and talking in agreement with what you have discovered. The man was hungry. He was hungry. It would not have been called a temptation if it was not a temptation. Do you follow my point? How did he overcome it? There was a release of the power contained in God's word into the situation. That was what he did. So every day, situations come, say, don't mind these politicians. Why are they all chopping money? Me, if I'm a politician, I will never chop money. I will never chop money. God said, you, okay. I will also make you secretary of your school association. You go see. You won't chop it. They will just say, take transport to here and come back. Say, you didn't take transport, but take the money anyway and you collect it. What did you call that? Your company sends you. Go to Lagos and go and do business. Bring us the receipts from the hotel and we'll pay you back your expenses. And if Chukubike, you did? Yes, so nah, I get job for Lagos. You pitch for Chukubike house. Say, Chukubike, what did they sell invoice for here? Holy Ghost Incorporated Hotels and Towers. 2 nights at 10,005 per night. No, don't put up your hand. I'm not asking for those who have done it before. Now go to the office. Say, it's my entitlement. Now it's my entitlement. After all, if I stayed there, they will have paid. But did you stay there? The receipt, if they bring it before the judgment throne of man, not even God, won't you go to jail for forgery? Okay, so you've been blaming politician. I'll show you now that you're a politician too. It's true. You don't know. That was when David was raking. God said, relax, relax, thief, relax. Who did that? I go kill him. God said, you? Yeah. Now you therefore kill first. Yeah, I'm shouting about somebody. But how do you handle such situations? He said, this is what I chop him. What if you were the minister? He said, God has said, be content with that which you have. Because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't we just read that? He said, let your conversation or lifestyle be free of the love of money. I told you, it's not advice. It's a commandment. Say, Lord, the Lord has said that once you say it like that, you know, God knows the one that you can't handle. Are you getting my point? He will give you a boss. No, God knows how he trains his people. He will give you a boss that does not require.